Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money.
And welcome to the Investor Coaching Show. This is Ira Work here in the studio with Jonathan Walker.
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going well. It's very a nice, good. Beautiful day out there, isn't it?
It is. It's really nice. A little windy.
You know what I was thinking about driving in?
What's that?
That Paul did this show for so many years by himself, and it takes two of us to do it.
That's, you know, it's just the way it is.
I mean, is he a hardworking guy or what?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's in the booth at the moment.
Yeah, he is. I think he came in to make sure that we do it right.
It's like the principal came to the...
principal came to the class to watch the teacher.
I think we're just making sure that you showed up and did a good job.
Yeah. So in any event, I want to jump in with this article from one of my favorite opinion writers who's written a number of books, and we usually talk about him at least once a week when we come here, and that's Jason Zweig.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So he wrote an article called The Volatility Illusion.
Okay.
Now, how many of your clients often come in and talk about the market's so volatile?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right? And you even hear them on TV talking about the volatility of the market, the volatility of the market.
Sure.
All right. So he starts off this article, fellow investors, volatility is back.
Thank goodness.
Okay. But is it? And he says, or so... everyone seems to believe. Talks so about some different stocks. NVIDIA shares fell 10% last Friday. The company's value shrank by $12 billion.
Yeah, pocket change.
Chump change, right?
Yeah.
The second largest daily loss for a single stock in history.
Oh, there you go.
Tesla shares are down 43% so far this year. Apple has fallen 11%. And the funds holding long-term treasury bonds, the subject of my column this past weekend, are down 9%.
There you go.
Now, imagine thinking you're buying a fund with very, very safe securities, treasury bonds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're down 9%. I don't think you're going to feel very good.
Yeah, that's gonna sting a little bit.
All right? On April 4th alone, the Dow Industrial Average fell 530 points.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that a lot or not?
No.
No, it's not. But most people would think it is.
Yeah.
And he writes, no wonder investors are feeling jittery.
Yeah.
Jittery. I would argue, though, that much of the apparent rise in volatility is a cognitive illusion. First, we all suffer from what behavioral economist Richard Zuckhauser calls denominator blindness. On April 9th, 1987, and I was a stockbroker back then, the Dow fell 508 points in one day. So 530 didn't seem so bad to me.
Yeah, you're talking different time frames.
Okay. And we're talking different numbers.
Yes.
That was a 22.6% plunge.
Yep.
Now imagine losing a quarter of your wealth in a single day.
Yeah.
But the 530-point drop this April 4th amounted to only a 1.4% decline.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about, on a pretty regular basis here, that that's a pretty normal swing on a daily basis, 1.4%. By focusing on the magnitude rather than the percentage of price changes, news organizations, sometimes including the Wall Street Journal, I'm afraid, make markets feel more newsworthy. My tongue is a little tired today. And volatile than they are. Once our attention centers on the numerator of the fraction, the change in price by dollars or points, we overlook the denominator, the total value of the asset or the index.
Mm-hmm.
We forget that the big change in the smaller number means only a small change in the larger number.
Yep.
And I try to get this across to our clients all the time because the news does just that. You know, we talk about this among ourselves and we talk about this with clients. We talk about this here on the show.
Yep.
That the news is not our friend.
Nope.
Why?
Well, and I want to hit on a few points before we get into that as well. I think the biggest thing is that I'll say the majority of clients can remember when a 100-point move or a 200-point move was a big move,
mm-hmm.
right? Put it in perspective, when the market reopened after 9/11, the market was down 600 points.
Mm-hmm.
600-point move at that particular time was a pretty decent move. Considering what we had just been through, I think most people were pretty relieved it wasn't more. But the reality is that for markets to have those the gains that we're going to be, quite frankly, expecting or looking to see, it's going to be a 100, 200, 300-point move. I think in relative terms, if I came to you and said the market was up or down, doesn't matter, up or down 600 points, you might look at that and go, okay, that's a big move. But if I came to you and said the market was up less than 1% today,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't even faze you.
Right.
So a lot of times it's all in how it's presented.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we keep that in mind a lot of times, okay, it's a 600, 700, whatever the point move is, and you look at the percentage that is, most of the time it doesn't even move the needle.
Right.
But we get caught up in what I'm seeing on the TV or what I'm reading in the paper or whatever. And a lot of times that's detrimental to my overall plan that I've implemented. And so to your point, going back to, is what's the... what I tell clients all the time is our business is transactional. In order for somebody to make money off you, in most of the time in the financial industry, is they have to get you uncomfortable enough to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't do that, then that's actually a pretty good thing.
That's right.
So, those are the things I think, and this article alludes to that, is, the percentages versus the actual movement of the market one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. All right, it goes on and says, we think of a volatile stock or other financial asset as one whose price simply fluctuates a lot. That misses the nuances of flying and madness that lurk in the heart of the word. Volatile came into English, and this was something that I had did not have any knowledge of. Volatile came into the English language in the 16th century.
No kidding.
But of course, I wouldn't know that. I wasn't around.
Yeah, you weren't around, right? When that happened.
From French and Italian, it originated in the Latin voltare, which means to fly. A 1603 translation from Greek said that Aristotle had enumerated four types of animals: terrestrial, aquatic, which are fish, volatile, birds, and celestial, planets and stars. Now, I don't know how they got four animals from planets and stars, frankly, but I'm still a little missed on that one.
There you go.
One of the earlier citations of the word in the English language is from Richard Hallut's dictionary, and he defined it as, if the French noun volatile, as anything that flieth with wings, and the adjective as flying away or inconstant. That which doth fly or pass away suddenly.
Interesting.
Now, none of the stocks that we're seeing are passing away.
Right.
And they're not all going up really a lot and really dropping down a lot. But I think part of the problem is the focus, especially here. I know when people come into our offices and they talk about the market, our usual response is, which one?
Yeah, right.
Because we're in these globally diversified portfolios, which is how every investor, whether they're listening to the show, whether they're our clients or not, they really need to have a globally diversified portfolio.
Agreed.
And that is going to offset how much risk there is from volatility, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
Of owning one asset category. And it leads into just the fear. And I asked the question a little bit ago, why is the news not our friend?
Well, their motivation is generally different than yours. And the end result of what you want to accomplish and what their agenda is generally different. And so I've not seen a situation where, for the most part, the reality is their job is to get either eyeballs on the screen or, something, because they're looking for the most part, my understanding of it is, now I'm not a TV expert or anything of that nature, but, my understanding is they're looking for the ad revenue.
Yep.
And so, you know, a lot of it is that they can make that happen, and that's what happens. And so, you know, most of the clients all the time, I get more magazine subscription offers a lot of times than a dentist office. Because they come in free, just put it in the lobby, do whatever, and I don't do that. Because I think it's misguided a lot of times, especially for the most part, the things that we see in the financial industry I don't support that. I don't support the direction they're trying to take clients one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't line up with what we teach and why we teach it. And so that at the end of the day, the media, there was a study that was put out many years ago, and I may get this wrong, but Fidelity actually surveyed, and I give them credit for publishing the study, but Fidelity surveyed 100 people that felt like they were that their retirement so far had been successful, mm-hmm. and they asked them what was the number one thing they did that led to the success of their retirement, and the number one answer was that they had turned off all financial TV news. They had decided not to listen to the noise around them and that kind of thing. And it had not only had it led to their comfort level, but they were less apt to shoot themselves in the foot. And I just thought that was fascinating.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I remember having a client call me up. You know, the first year the portfolio went up with the market, the second year the portfolio went down with the overall market. And he called me up in kind of like a panic. You know, I'm like, just turn off the television.
Yeah.
Or if you have to have the television on, turn on Happy Days.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Just watch something light, watch something meaningless, because the news that you're watching is actually less meaningful or more meaningless than the news that you're actually watching. Yeah. And you would have a lot more fun watching Happy Days or Laverne and Shirley or whatever other sitcom you could watch, Friends or Seinfeld, rather than watching the news media. Mm-hmm. I like the term that John Vogel from Vanguard came up with, you know, investtainment,
yeah,
which is what, you know, those new shows are now. It's just investing entertainment.
Right.
You can't get any, and I'll turn it on from time to time just to see what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And you can't get any clear direction. I mean, me being in the business for over 40 years now,
yeah,
you know, when I watch the shows, I'm not getting any direction of what's going to really happen. Yeah. So if I can't get it with my knowledge and expertise and experience, how can somebody who does not have all the knowledge and experience we have, how can they get anything out of these shows?
Well, I'll tell you from a personal experience, you know, when I worked at two large banks, and the first one I was on the trading floor and the second one I wasn't. So the first one I was on the trading floor, we had exposure to, you know, we were watching these TV shows and I don't even know what we were watching for, to be perfectly honest. But I mean, it was on, we had, that was on, Bloomberg was on, other things were on. And I can tell you that it absolutely changed how my mood, mm-hmm. you know, as far as how I felt when I left work, how I felt when I got to work. And then I went to went to another bank, and that wasn't any of that on. It was a completely different environment. A lot happier, more jovial. You know, it was just a different structure. And so when I actually came and started working for Paul, we didn't have none of that was on.
Right.
And I loved it, because there wasn't that pressure of having to either pay attention to that or, you know, there's this perceived control that doesn't even exist. But, you know, that to me is the biggest thing, is you get so caught up in these shows, and it just starts to I've watched people that are very smart, very intelligent, do stupid stuff because of the agenda of whatever the financial media is, whatever they're pushing that week or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's most of the time it's negative. You know, and that's not all the time. But, you know, that's been my, you know, because by the time they call us, they're worked up about it. And they're ready to, something's got to change or something needs to change or whatever. And then that's, you know, we're almost past the point of no return at that point.
Yeah. That is interesting that you said that about the TVs, because when I first started learning back in 2000 about the science of investing, and we'll talk more about that after the break. But when I first started learning about it, one of the first guys that was mentoring me, he had come into my office, and I had a TV on above the door, and I could sit and watch it from my desk, and I would turn it off if a client came in, and he walked in my office, and the first thing he said to me was, the first thing you need to do is turn that off.
Yeah.
And we talked about it, and he said, everything that they're telling you to do on TV is totally contrary to the way the science of investing works. And I turned off the TV and focused on continuing to learn more and more and more and more about the science of investing. You know, it's been 23 years now that this is what I focus on.
Yeah.
And I could care less what the TV has to say.
Yeah.
Because it's so meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you know, great for selling denture cream. It's great for selling pillows.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's really, you know, meaningless.
Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one. Advisory services offered through Paul Winkler, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. The opinions voiced and information provided in this material are for general informational purposes only and not intended to provide specific advice.